Our scripture reading for today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, and 27 and 28. And this can be found on page 790 and 791, I think. Yeah. What happened to? Yeah. All right. Someone turned the page on me. Man. Who did that? Okay, I just gave you guys time to get to it. All right. 22. All right, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, and as yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for Gary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your goodness in our lives. And as we open up the word this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our lives, teach us what we need to learn. Help us to be different than when we first entered this church. For we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there's a lot of confusion over Easter, especially if you have friends that are unbelievers or were not raised in the church. I heard a story once of a Sunday school class that was teaching four-year-olds. And the week before Easter, the teacher asked the class, she said, "Does anybody know what today is?" And a little girl said, "It's Palm Sunday." And the teacher was really impressed. And then she said, "Well, that's right. Now, who knows what next week is?" And the same little girl hand goes right up and she goes, "Next week it's Easter." And the teacher was really, really impressed. But before the teacher could move on, the little girl adds on, "But yes, next week is Easter, but if Jesus doesn't see a shadow, he has to go back for seven more weeks." I said, "That's a true story." But there is some confusion over Easter. But when I think of Easter, I think of Jesus coming to fight our worst enemies. You know, you and I have some serious enemies. If you've watched any kind of television or movies in your life, you no doubt know some great villains. I mean, think about it. Batman and the Joker. And someone really got into that out there. Superman and Lex Luthor, right. What about Luke versus... Right. What about Pittsburgh Steelers versus Tom Brady? But I'm not going to joke about the Steelers anymore after that, so it's okay. But we have some serious enemies, you and I. In fact, when Peter is preaching here, he brings up two enemies that you and I face, and that is sin and death. Sin and death. I want you to think about, with me, these two enemies that you and I face. Because in reality, we lose the greatness of the resurrection. We lose the greatness of Jesus if we don't understand our two greatest enemies and what he came to do. So I want us to first focus in on sin. R.C. Sproul talks about sin like this. He says, "Human nature being totally deprived does not necessarily mean that you and I are as wicked as we can possibly be. No. He says that we as humans are born into something called radical corruption. It's something that permeates our very soul. It has tainted every element of us, our thoughts, our physical bodies, our emotions. Everything about us has been tainted because of Adam in the garden. We are born into sin. And this is our very greatest enemy. If you recall in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, when Jesus is in the house, and there's a man brought to a house, Peter's house, and he's paralyzed. He's on a pallet. And everybody wants to see Jesus heal this man physically. It would be an incredible miracle. But what Jesus says is this: take up your pallet and walk. Take up your pallet and walk. Your sins are now forgiven. Well, many, when you read this, think to themselves, why would Jesus heal the man first inwardly instead of outwardly? I mean, his greatest problem was that he couldn't walk, right? Well, that's not the case. The greatest problem this man faced was his inward sinful condition. And that is the same with you and I. Ravi Zacharias says this about sin: sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Let me read that again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. If you grew up in the 90s, you grew up with a band, a Christian band called DC Talk. How many of you remember DC Talk? Raise your hand. A whole three of us. It's good. Well, they wrote a great song called In the Light. And listen to the lyrics. It says, I keep on trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing that I do. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicion that I'm still a man in need of a savior. I want to be in the light as you're in the light. Oh Lord, be my light. The disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring the sickness under control. That's sin. Sin is a hook that has us all. Sin is also something that causes man to be autonomous. What does that mean? That means we want to live life apart from God. We want to be our own God. C.S. Lewis wrote in The Great Divorce, he says that there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those whom God says in the end, thy will be done. And then he goes on to say that in hell, all those are those that say to God, my will be done. And that's very true. At the end of the day, each of us have a choice to make. But our sin compels us and keeps us, continually wanting us to be our own God. And that's what sin is. It's a deceiver. That's why it's one of our greatest enemies. Now, death. Death is also our enemy. The Bible says, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Think about that word. Agony. Agony. That's not fun. Agony is awful. When you know someone that's going through a horrible time in their life, a horrible time, that's agony. And that's what death is, friends. And do we really need any explanation for death? This is something that I share at funerals. Death. It's ugly. But death does not care. It just waits. You see, death does not discriminate, does it? It doesn't care if you're rich or poor. It doesn't care if you're white or black. It doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. Death just waits. It doesn't look at your bank account. It just waits. And it waits for you, and it waits for me, and it waits for everybody. And there's nothing you and I can do to escape that. That's why Jesus coming to this earth, living a sinless life, and raising up again on the third day is so important. Because he came to defeat the things that we could not. He came to give us hope and conquer sin and conquer death. You see, there's new life in Christ. And that just does not mean when we go to heaven. It means right now on earth. And you and I should live in the light of that resurrection, because it literally changes everything. It changes how we're going to wake up, how we're going to go to bed. It changes our interactions with people. It changes how we work. It changes how we view money. It changes everything. And how does Jesus do this? He does it in the most marvelous way, something that you and I could never conjure up. He does it in a way that is called a great exchange. You see, he takes on our sin. He takes on death for us. He literally exchanges those things. He takes the sin and we get the life. He takes the death and we get the life. There's a great exchange that took place. Listen to what Peter says. The Bible says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin, because by his wounds you were healed. Think about that verse. It doesn't make any sense. By his wounds you were healed. Someone else paying the price means you getting healed. When does that ever happen? It happens in this case. Jesus exchanges all of the ugliness. He takes on all of our sin, the pride, the envy, everything. And on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that moment, he gives us life. Anybody that would trust in Jesus, he gives life. There's a book called Written in Blood by Robert Coleman. And he tells a moving story about a little boy and his sister that have a blood disorder. And the little boy had this blood disorder years before, and he was healed of it, but now his little sister had it. And they are going around trying to find a match, and the only match and the easiest match would be her older brother. And so they had to talk to the older brother. They said, listen, if you can help your little sister out here, you know, and help donate blood, this would help cure her like it did you. And so after some hesitation and some thought, the little boy actually said, you know what, let's do this. And so the story goes that as the nurse put the needles in and the transfusion started, the little boy looks over, sad but confident, in the middle of this, and says, well, doctor, when do I die? He thought he was giving up his life for his sister. He thought he was going to exchange all the good and give her all the good and him take all the bad. But friends, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. And that is why Jesus Christ is called a living hope. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This wasn't a game. They understood this. People were out to kill Christians. We don't experience that today, thank God, in the United States, maybe in the future. But there are some places in the world where to be a Christian, to follow Christ, means your life is going to end, or there's a bounty on you. And it's a terrible and sad thing. But this is why Peter emphasizes to this church that Jesus is a living hope. Why? Because of the resurrection from the dead. Paul calls Jesus our first fruits. That could be confusing to some of us today. First fruits just means that Jesus went first. He's the guarantee. So because Jesus went first, everything that happened to him is going to happen to us. And because Jesus destroyed death, guess what that means for us? We follow in suit of Jesus. Now, some of us in this room may not like to hear this, but you don't have a living hope. You've never trusted Christ. You have a dead hope, because the opposite of living is dead. You trust in your job, your friends, your loved ones, your 401k. But here's the trick. As you get older, year by year, day by day, you realize all those things are not certain. It becomes abundantly clear as you grow up and you get older. And so you have one living hope, one thing that is certain, and that's Jesus. So we should live accordingly. You and I should live accordingly. I heard a story once of a Little League baseball game, and there was a little boy in the dugout, and the score was like 18-0. And a spectator walked over to the boy, and he said, "Listen, son, I bet you're really discouraged." And the little boy says, "Why would I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten up the bat yet." What? But the point is that that little boy had hope, and you and I should have hope. And when we turn on the televisions, there's no hope. When you turn on the news, there's no hope. So for those of us that are just visiting or new here today, I want you to come back and be part of hope. Be part of a group of like-minded, like-hearted people that trust Jesus and have a living hope. And you'll watch your life change and get better. How do I know that? Because you're looking at someone that happened to. Jesus is a living hope for this guy. So as we conclude our service today, I want you to think about these enemies. These enemies that you and I face, sin and death. You can't conquer them. You can conquer a lot of things in your life, but you can't conquer those two things. That's why Jesus is our living hope. Amen? Amen. Now let us conclude our service as we sing together hymn number 45, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."